Okay, so for the guys in my share, I'll give enough background for people not in my share so we understand the topic. For guys in my share, this is part of a larger sugya. We've been discussing in my share the sugya around what defines matzah in terms of species of grain, in terms of whether it actually has to be able to rise. Or if it has to be the right species, hence the discussions around matzah ashira and different things where the liquid prevents it from rising, potentially prevents it from rising. But in that context, specifically in the first context, that of minim, the Gemara cites the machloket tanoim, which appears several places in Shas, both Bavli and Yerushalmi, between the Chamim and Rochem and Nuri, whether rice is subject to chimutz, whether rice rises. Or it's not chimutz, it's sircham. So the Gemara has this discussion. There are certain things that, even though they seem to grow when they are in the process of their baking, that rising is not rising halachically, or whatever you call chimutz, it's something else. And that raises the question, because presumably we can look at the rice and we can say, well, it's doing something. It forces us to ask, well, what are they arguing about? And there are two theoretical possibilities, right? One is that they're arguing about, as I think already in Rambam, this is how they put it, but maybe this wasn't good, right? They could be arguing about what do you have or what do you need, right? Meaning they agree on what there is, they argue about the standard halachically, or they're actually arguing about the metziah, they're arguing about the reality of what is happening. And as we'll see, the Yerushalmi makes it sound like one of those quite strongly, and we're going to have to analyze that. But this, and we'll see other sugyot in Psachim as well, raise the question of whether there is such a thing, or we should expect there to be such a thing as a machloket about metziut, about reality, in Chazal. Okay, and that's what I want to do. That's the meta topic I want to do. Again, for the guys in my shir, you understand the connection of everything we're doing. We'll come back to it on Sunday and come back to Parah Dra'ah and all the very the complexity around that. If you remember, I know it's been a week since we touched that sugya. I'm like hyperventilating thinking about it, but we'll get back to it. But I want to talk to the broader issue. And like I said, we're going to see several of the key sugya which are here in Psachim. But my goal is to discuss the methodological broader issue. And again, we will look through the sugya that are relevant as we come along. So why is it that in the Achronic period, and especially more recently, there is this thing that's passed around that at least some of you have probably heard? I know I heard when I was in Rambam and in Gush and in YU, right? People who believe that Chazal cannot argue about Mitzvot. That whenever you see a machloket in Chazal, they cannot be arguing about reality. They must be arguing about the concepts. They have to be arguing about standards. They have to be arguing about the nature of the halacha, but they can't be arguing about reality. What is the logic? Before we see the source, what's the logic that underpins such a claim?
Because they could simply test the reality together.
Good. So one possibility is it is testable. If it is testable, so let's spell it out. It's testable, and therefore,
Therefore, they would figure it out and come to a conclusion
correct. And
about how.
therefore, if something is testable empirically, then for someone to argue about it is evidence of the fact that someone didn't do enough research, and we do not attribute to Chazal the belief they didn't do enough research. We assume that if they're arguing about something, it's something that fundamentally is not subject to empirical testing. Right? For example, the Ramban in his Hakdamah to the Melchamot famously says that what is his goal in the Melchamot? Defend the rift. Good. Now, what does defend the rift mean? So the Ramban says, when I defend the rift, do I always agree with the rift? He says, no, I don't always agree with the rift. So why am I defending the rift if I don't agree with him? Because law is not math. In math, there's one right answer, and it's obvious. And once you prove it, it's proven. Right? QED, it's proven. And that point to dispute would be denying the truth of whatever it is that you've just proven. But law is not like that. Law is not subject to proof in the same way. It is a plausibility game. Right? You say something's true when it seems the most plausible. But at the end of the day, you can't prove it by testing something. At some point, you're going to look at it and say, this makes sense. This seems most likely. And therefore, he sets out to defend the Rif, even when he doesn't agree with him, because you can have two logical arguments. One, to you, seems more likely. The other one seems less likely. But that doesn't mean there's no logic to it. It's very rare that you can argue that something that is not subject to testing has no logical basis, has no grounding. So one reason to say that we should push against interpreting machloket metziut is it implies a level of irresponsibility about on behalf of Chazal, because they should have just tested it. Okay, good. That's one possibility. What else? Joey. Meaning, good, so why?
Because ultimately they're just saying, I say this, and end the discussion. Like,
sharpen that. Meaning what?
Yeah.
Okay, so meaning what? So, but why is it that a machloket about reality makes it that you're talking past each other in a way a conceptual dispute is not?
Because conceptual dispute, you have, like, you rationalize your position.
Okay, so if I understand what Joey's saying, look, it's more than that. It's not just that it's testable. It's that there's something about disputes about reality where it's not a dispute in the same way. You can't really have a conversation, right? If you don't accept my facts, right, then there's nothing to talk about, right? Meaning it's not just a testable thing. It's that a machloket, you might want to say there's a machloket should be about something that by its very nature is subject inherently to discussion and persuasion rather than empiricism. Meaning it's not just that I should test. It's that something which is subject to testing isn't the type of thing you should argue about or Chazal shouldn't be arguing about. Yeah, what else? Give me other suggestions. Why else might you believe this? I'm not saying you have to believe it, but if you want to defend it, why would, yeah.
Well, generally, Torah is not like a science book. We're not.
Good, so it could be also belief about what Torah is, right? That what is Torah, right? Torah is a machloket about Platonic ideals of conceptual reality, I don't know, right? Whatever the Rav wants to call it in halachic man, right? And therefore, you know, it's like, yeah, the Rav's argument that Reb Chaim redeemed Yaradeh because he took it out of the kitchen, he took it out of the pots and pans, right? Yeah, you know, the reality that Psak is involved in, I mean, yeah. Now, of course, so that's back to Ezra,
yeah.
Right? So, but I want you to know that there's two types of svara that have so far been raised. One is, there is such a thing as a there can be such a thing as Metziut Machloket, it's just that we don't want there to be a machloket that is easily testable because that implies irresponsibility, right? That was Ezra's formulation. Then there are different formulations of maybe that's not what Torah is, right? There's something intuitively that we believe that Torah, or at least whatever, right? Torah Shebal Peh, the Mesorah, for it to be involved in Mitziut Machlokot seems wrong, either because at some level that's just like beneath it, right? Torah is about these pristine ideals, or that's not a debate, right? A debate in Torah should be about fundamentals and not about, you know, the happenstance of reality or something like that. But those are two different types of formulations, right? One is saying that fundamentally there shouldn't be such a machloket, and the other is saying that practically, right, in theory, there's nothing wrong with a machloket in Mitziut. It's just that usually that implies irresponsibility. Now, before, okay, you want to give another formulation, Ezra?
I have a question.
Yeah.
So, according to Moshe Stan, let's say practically there was somewhere on, and one thought that this piece of meat had a taste, and another thought didn't. Mm-hmm. Then wouldn't that just be, and that, well, that would have a lot of ramifications. So then that would be the machloka. So how do you say that
the
non-machloka?
No, I'm saying practically, let's say that they did argue about that. Let's say that was.
Oh, okay, right. So now let's sharpen it. I'll take it in a second, right? Let's take these two formulations, or two, like, let's divide them so far. We have formulation one, which is you could have a machloket, but you should research it. Or the two formulations we had on there shouldn't be such a machloket. Like, ontologically, this is wrong. What's the nafkamina, right? And this is the machloket that now emerging between Moshe and Ezra? What is the nafka mean between those two? Is something which is empirical, but not testable, or not, right, I mean, not practically testable. Like, in theory, testable. Right, so something that is empirical, but either not testable or so hard to test, such that it's not easily clarified. If you think that the reason to not attribute such machlokot is because, not that there can't be a machlokot in Mitzvot, it's just that we assume that Chazal are very responsible, so if you could test it, they would. But that means that if there was a machlokot in Mitzvot that couldn't be tested, because it's in the past, because it's hard to test empirically, we don't have the tools, right, we can't read it, whatever it is, it's Mitzvot, but malasot. Then, according to Ezra's formulation, no problem saying that that's the machloket. According to Joey's formulation or Moshe's formulation, no, we would still have a discomfort with a machloket like that because that's not the plane at which Torah should be, right? That is the nikudata machloket about what machloket can be about, right? That is, that's the nuance. Now, Ezra doesn't like Moshe saying mapito. Now, now Ezra wants to defend his view. Why would you say that it's a practical issue, right, and not a fundamental issue? Why is it you believe that?
People sometimes differ on what the reality is.
Good. So my simple svara in favor of what Ezra said is, okay, you want to say there can't be machloket about mitziyot. People do it all the time. All the time. People have machloket about mitziyot. Right? Half of politics is a machloket about mitziyot. Right? Does whatever. Right? Does providing welfare encourage people to work less, or does it, right? Or does it help them stay on their feet so that they can, right? So they can work more. Does, right? Is having strict controls on gun control, is that what causes the protection of people, or is it a culture issue? Right? Like, there's a machloket where, look, right, this is a mitziut question, right? But people have such disputes. So one svara is, well, people have machloket mitziut all the time. So why shouldn't Chazal? Now, you might want to push back, Moshe. One second. Kobe, let me play it out with them. One second. Kobe, Moshe, you want to push back or you want to let Kobe push back?
I would just say, still fundamentally, we don't care about what happens to the Chazal. Sure, there could be, it could come up, but do your own research. Chazal doesn't.
No, that's already Ezra's Svara.
No,
that's already Ezra. Okay, so before I take Kobe, I see Kobe and W, but before I take you, let me ask you the following question, okay? I give you an example from politics. So Bonagid, politics, fine. That's, politics. Who cares, right? That's not Kodesh Kadashim. So fine, maybe you'll say that the fact that there's such a machloket in politics, that proves nothing. Okay. But let me ask you whether you're bothered by this, and then I'll take Dovi and Kobe, but I'll throw this out, right? And then I'll take them. I won't let you answer. I want you to think about it for a second, and then I'll let them talk, which is, okay, does it bother you the same, right? For those of you who think it's a fundamental problem or even a practical problem, are you equally bothered if you would find a machloket that seems to be having mitzvah, not between Ravina and Ravashi or Abaye and Rava, but between Ramosha Feinstein and Ruvadia? If you had a machloket and a modern, right? You took modern Boskim. I told you today, right? Rav Asher Weiss thinks you're allowed to use baby wipes on Shabbos because it doesn't squeeze out liquid, right? And other poskim say no, it's usher because it's schita because it squeezes out liquid. And you read Rav Asher's Tshuva, you'll see he writes tens of pages about how he called up the companies and he asked them, is the water coming out? Is it on the surface? Is it inside? Right? And he's making another poskim or machmir. Does that bother you in the same way?
Nowadays, when they're answering a practical question, it is a practical question, obviously. It's not really a conceptual.
Okay, but so according to who? Does it, in Ezra's model or Moshe's model?
Well, in both, you could say that this isn't, meaning the question that they're being asked isn't necessarily something of where it's like a Gemara kind of.
So it also is, meaning there's a lot of other things to understand, schita and the like. But my point is, if I could find you a machloka that at the end of the day came down to Mitzvah, right? I'm not talking about. I'm saying, I pointed out at the end of the day, the machloket is, right, about facts. Right, would that bother you in the same way?
In Achronim, no.
Why not?
Well, because
So according to Ezra, should it bother you? Right, according to Ezra, it should be the same thing. That whatever level of testing I should expect from Chazal, I should expect from a modern posek. According to Moshe's formulation, now Moshe's, right? Moshe's, this Moshe is less... Yeah, okay, fine. Kapel is... This is not going to work otherwise. Right? Kapel is less bothered by it, but that seems to, right, to be related to... Tomorrow's formulation, which is, it's about what Torah is, where there's an intuition that Chazal are doing something different. And that there's something more fundamental. It's like the Chazon Ish has this. Right? The Chazon Ish has this claim, the Gemara in a few places, two places I think, says that the history of the universe is divided into 6,000 years, Alpayim Tohu, Alpayim Torah, Alpayim Yom HaMashiach. The first 2,000 years of the world is a Chaloish Shem Tohu, right, it's nothingness and, you know, whatever. The next 2,000 is Torah, and the last 2,000 years of history is Yemot HaMashiach. And the Chazon Ish says, what does that mean? So I don't know what it means, but the Chazon Ish has a halachic argument. And he says that the middle 2,000 years of history, which is more or less from Matan Torah through, like, the Stimara Talmud, that's a time in which Torah is created. After that, right, he thinks that it's fundamental. The reason we don't argue on the Gemara is because the Gemara was in an era of time in which Torah was allowed to be created, and after that, we only interpret. Right? There's a chalos, right, of Torah being created and Torah being interpreted in interpretation. So yalla, you can argue about interpretation and application. But when you're creating the fundamentals, it feels weird to say that the creation of Talmud Torah is like subject to... Do I taste something? Ah, and Ezra will push back and say, oh, come on, I don't care what they're doing in those 2,000 years. Torah, psak, is the application of theory to reality, and therefore, yeah, there can be an argument on the level of theory, there can be an argument on the level of reality. That's important, too. And if it's important, so as long as you can't accuse them of laziness, there's nothing wrong about saying they're arguing with you, right? This is the difference. Okay, Kobe, Delvey, yeah, go. Yeah.
Their argument is still based in their conceptual understanding of what is really going on, despite the fact that they don't know enough.
Okay, so you can have a machloket in which, obviously, there's a conceptual basis to their position, but in theory, if a machloket and mitziut, both sides could share the same conceptual model. So the machloket isn't going to be at the level of the, right? You could have it that it's both, but you can, in theory, right, you could just say, listen, to take the baby wipe thing, right? You could say that both of them agree entirely about Shechita, and they think that if it's true that the liquid is inside of it, then it would be Shechita, and if it's on the surface, it wouldn't be, and they argue about whether the liquid is inside or on the surface, right? You can have a case like that.
I was going to say, more like a case where there are ultimately the facts will dictate the reality, but in this case, since they don't have enough facts,
But I'm telling you, it's not always the case, right? You can have a case in which they agree on the conceptual basis. So you could have it. I'm not asking whether every case that looks like the machloket. Okay, wait. Kobe, we got to get distinguished. There's two different things going on here. One is, can it ever be the case that there's a machloket about metziut in Chazal? And the second is any particular case actually machloket about metziut? You're arguing that sometimes what seems to be machloket about metziut is not. I agree with you. That doesn't answer the question of, in principle, is this an option we should entertain? That's a different question. I'm not saying every machloket that at first glance looks at, right? Because we could come with a middle position and say your bias should be that a machloket is not about metziut because it's testable, but that doesn't mean in principle it can't. So we'll minimize it, but we won't eliminate it, right? You're saying, well, it's not always. I agree with you, it's not always. I don't think anybody, I don't think any formulation we've heard has suggested that you should always jump to Metziut Machloket. But it's only verifiable if the Machloket is only about Metziut. If it's about Metziut and conceptual issues, then I assume Ezra would agree, then it's not verifiable by definition, because part of it is about how we view what's going on rather than what is going on. The second is about how we view going on. So obviously there's a machloka. That's about standards. You can argue about standards. Correct. So the machloka. Okay. about Mitzvot means about the facts, not what standards we should use, right? If someone says, should we use Rov, should we use Karov, obviously they're arguing about Mitzvot, but the point is they're arguing about which mechanism we should use in a case in which things aren't clear, which is, once you're pulling induction, it's not 100%. So then we're arguing about standards, we're arguing about tools, we're arguing about what counts as evidence, evidentiary procedures. That's different than the Machlokes HaMitzvot per se. No, that's not the case, right? Because if there are certain cases where they're doing that, and certain cases where they're not, right? There's a difference between saying is something, right, sweet, and saying is it vanilla, right? Sweet, yes, it's a description of a reality, but there's a certain level of subjectivity there in terms of how do we view it. Whereas whether or not something is flavored vanilla is objective, right? That's not about induction. Those are different. Not even though, yes, sweet is a description of a certain physical reality, it's not as, right, it's a fact in the way that vanilla is, right? Machlokes HaMitzvot here, we don't mean machlokes about standards about Mitzvot. That's not a machlokes. That's an evidentiary. That's a question. That's a legal question, right? A legal question is different, right? I assume Ezra agrees with this, that a legal question about a reality, obviously can argue about that. We can argue, right? We can say we agree that, right? That's like saying that you have two people who agree to use the American standard, that there's a beyond, that there is a 75% chance that this guy was the murderer. And they both agree that the standard is that you can only convict if it's beyond a reasonable doubt. They argue about whether having a 25% doubt is a reasonable doubt or not. That's not a machloket about Mitzvot. It's a machloket about what is the standard, but that's an evidentiary one. That's not a Mitzvot. Yes, the issue at hand is Mitzvot, but the machloket isn't about Mitzvot. The machloket is about how do I approach evidence. That's different. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, I think he killed him, and I think he did not kill him. That's a machloket HaMitzvot. Both of us saying that we attribute a certain probability to it and we argue about the cutoff point, that's not a machloket HaMitzvot. It's a machloket that relates to Mitzvot, but it's a machloket about how the legal system relates to Mitzvot. It's a legal machloket. It's an evidentiary machloket. It's a process machloket. It's not a machloket about a fact. That's different.
My question would be,
and I mean, the induction case is the same, right? Meaning we can all say that by the rules of induction, something is true. And then you have to figure out, do you think that induction bachlal is a good mechanism? And then you get into philosophy of science and philosophy of mathematics and the entire nightmare that is the philosophy of induction. And it is a nightmare.
My question then is,
I took an advanced seminar in YU on just the problem of induction. And it was a two-person class. It was just me and Itamar Rosenzweig, right? That was it, right? That was among the most intense, right, courses, right? I'm well aware of the problem of induction and where the lines between philosophy and theory and empiricism get very, very blurry. That was what we spent an entire semester on. If you come to my house, you will see an entire shelf from that semester just on that question. Certain? I didn't say certain. You said certain. Where did I ever say something? We specifically said they don't argue about things they're certain about. They argue about law, about which you cannot have certainty.
No.
Punkt verkehrt. They only argue about things where you can have certainty.
They will agree that there is one reality in a case that there is certain of. They will agree to that.
But what if a case they're not? That's not a proof. Oh, come on. Usually they're arguing about a case in which they agree on the facts. But what if it's a case where they don't? Yeah. Okay.
So now, why would one say one and one say the other? Wouldn't it be more logical for both of them to say we can't
either say nothing or agree?
Okay. Right. So, and there, but there's a very easy answer to that question, which is. You're overthinking. You're overthinking. No. It's not going to spar up. No, there's an easier reason. No, because there's a practical. Because there's a practical implication of it. You can't say nothing.
No, but
you can't always plead ignorance if there's a practical reason. Because the answer is we have to. Right? Meaning you What?
Is it a guess, or is it
whether it's a guess or not, the point is you can have a you can't plead ignorance if there's enough Gamina,
no,
right?
Saying,
that you have to deal with,
so
right?
What?
You could. I know. I understand. He's saying, well, if I don't know, what I just pulled up. He's like, on the one hand, you say, well, if you can't know, so don't argue. And I would say that's great if you have the freedom. So now you're switching sides?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Okay, fine. So this is where you're getting very lumdish. They're disagreeing, but it's not a machloket. Now, it's not a halachic machloket, it's a halachic disagreement. But machloket happens to mean disagreement, but machloket, by saying it not in English, is a chalois. What? So then you'd have to say, well, why are they saying one or the other? But, okay. But again, now I'll come back and I'll say, well, what happens if you had a machloket of modern poskim, right? You would all understand that they'd have to, right? They were asked a practical shayla. Would you? Okay. Good. And yet they have to. See, that's the problem. Is that, and no, this is what I want to get, is they have to. Right? Now, this is where things get complicated. Why? Because you're so used to thinking about the members of Chazal as different than modern poskim. But the truth is that modern poskim do this all the time. You're right. They're asked, can this person eat, should this person eat on Yom Kippur? They said, listen, I know the halacha, I don't know the mitzvah. I'll ask the doctor. Doctor one says, he'll be fine. Doctor two says, he won't be fine. Right? What do you do? Right? And they all agree on everything or whatever, right? So now you're going to tell me, so what the doctor should do is say, the rabbi should do is say, oi, I know the halacha, but I can't figure out the mitziyut. So what, we should just say nothing. But we all understand that's not what you can do. Very good. I understand. But in the end of the day, right, but your argument that they should just say nothing because, well, there's no way of being a varan mitziyut. No, that was Kobe's machlok. But now you're defending against yourself. I'm not.
Yeah,
I get it, which is fine. I wasn't asking you to. I was asking you to defend a position, not state your own position. I haven't stated my own position. I'm defending both sides. I'm not. But I understand you're defending that. I get it. Right now, what you're saying is not impossible, which is maybe there should be a formulation of Chazal of saying, right, plug in, right. It's fill in the blank. It's listen. In cases where there is a problem with Mitzvah, I will grant you all the halachic information you do, but I can't do anything on Mitzvah. That's not impossible, by the way. I know poskim who essentially do that in certain cases, which will say, listen, I will give you the standards about to take this case. I know at least one poskim, this is his methodology, which is, my job is as the rabbi is to tell you the rules for eating a Yom Kippur, but I have no expertise on this. So instead of me asking a doctor, I'm just going to make it very simple. I'm going to outsource the mitziyot to you. And I'm going to say, you're the patient. What would you like me to do? Do you want to give me the number of your doctor? And I'll talk it over with your doctor. And whatever your doctor says, listen, I can't promise that their assessment of mitziyot is right. But you're asking me the shayla. I'll answer the halachic part and I'll integrate it into whatever mitziyot you choose to follow. Right? And I'm making no claims. I know poskim will say that. I know other poskim will say, you ask me a shayla. And now, even though I'm not an expert in mitziyot, I got to figure it out, right? However, I'm going to figure it out. That's two mentalities, right? But yes, right now we're getting somewhere in terms of sharpening what the alternative here might be. Yes, Toby.
So, for me, a machloket can only really work if both people who are arguing are on comparable levels of intelligence and information that they both have.
Okay, sure.
There's a gemara where it talks about how Rava or Akhtarwa Gemara would live with sheep for 12 years.
Rav.
Right. So he lived with sheep for 12
years. Yes, Sanhedrin Daf
Hey. Right. And so, to me, Doc is saying that Rav.
Very good. Very good. Yatir Bakharad. Very good.
It implies that the other members of Chazal, at least in that area, didn't.
Correct.
Right. And so, in that case, if Rav argued someone with, in terms of the sheep or whatever, right?
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't we have deference to Rob because he has all this?
You would think.
There wouldn't be, so if someone is arguing with
Rob, you would think maybe, but what if it? What if it wasn't? What if it was two people who spent 18 months?
Right. No. But the fact that the Gemara didn't mention that two people spent 18 months, another person.
Okay, fine. But what about in a case where? No, I understand. So you're saying you're saying that. But what if they both spent 18 months? So then there's a good reason to get a machlok because they have equal expertise. Fine, but if we take cases here, right,
yeah.
Well, there's no evidence that the members of Chazal we're going to talk about in just a second were the Ravs of their field and the other person wasn't, right? And therefore, they're at the same level, so why shouldn't there be Machloket? Oh, that may be true, right? Maybe you can only have Machloket Metziut if you assume that not only in Halacha are they somewhat equivalent, right, and equally matched, but Metziut, that may be true, right? Even though Lav Dafka, right? Because we all know that sometimes the expert isn't right, right? In Metziut, for sure. Right? Sometimes you get it wrong. I understand. I understand. Okay, so let's try. We've now spent half an hour laying out the theories. Let's try to plug it into certain examples because you're going to see, now that we've talked it out, you will see how this machloket about machlokot, right, plays out in the sugya. So let's go to the classic one and we'll come back to the one we're actually doing in our share. But these are all psachim. The classic machloket about machloket is the case of yesh or ein begidin benotein ta'am. Okay, so as we all know, I hope, I'm just going to assume we all know, that there is a prohibition known as gid hanasha. You cannot eat the sciatic nerve. Okay? Because Yaakov Avinu got into a fight with the angelic person / the person / according to Chazal, the angelic person thing, him, Staro Shel Esav, whatever. Right? The Ish. And after a whole night of wrestling and no one getting the upper hand, he takes a cheap shot, hits him in the leg, right? And Yaakov limps forever, and therefore we can't have whatever type of steak it is that comes from whatever, or it's very hard and very expensive because you have to remove the Geranasha, and that's Nikra Gid, which is very, very complicated, and certain communities have the minhag not to do any Nikra Gid because it's so complicated, you just cut out that whole area. That's the Gid, okay? In that context, the Gemara raises the following. So this is the Sugan Chav Bet. Motiv Rav Yitzchak Nafchav Are Gid Anoshe Derachman Alkein Lo Yochul Bnei Yisrael Gid Anoshe. The Torah says you can't have the Gid Anoshe, that we know. Utnan, and the Mishnah says, Sholeach Adam Yarech Ligoy. You can send the thigh of the animal to a non-Jew, the Gid Anoshe Bitocho, with the sciatic nerve in it, Mipnei Shemekomo Nikar, because it's easy to find. And the context here in the Gemara is that you can't send something that a Jew will assume is kosher, right, has been fixed, because then it will be passed on to another Jew who will think that it's kosher and it's not. It's been fixed and it hasn't. The context in this whole Gemara is a question of Hana'ah, right, of whether every time there's an Isra Achila, there's a presumed Isra Hana'ah, right? That's the broader Machloket here in the beginning of the second parak, which is a very complicated Machloket, and I wish I could go into it, but I'm not going into it now. But the Gemara says what's clear here is that in this case, because you can see the Gid, we're not worried about the Jew getting it and accidentally eating the Gid Anasha because they'll be able to see it, right? That's a given. And the second is that even though there's an Isra Achila on the Gid, there's no Isra Hana'ah on the Gid, right? Those are the two halachic assumptions that the Gemara is trying to prove from this, which again are fascinating in their own right, but that's not our issue yet. So the Gemara then says, okay, but if that's the case, doesn't that prove that what? There is no Isser Hana'ah automatically, and that which is Asur Ba'achila. That's the broader machloket. And in order to resolve this problem, the Gemara now introduces the following. Kasava Rabbi Avohu, Kishehutra nivela, we're dealing not with a shechted animal. We're dealing with a nivela. There is a pasuk that says that nivela is an exception. Even if you think that normally every Isra Achila implies an Isra Hana'ah, nivela, everybody agrees, is an exception to that rule. Why is it an exception to that rule? Because the pasuk says that you should give it to the ger. That you should give it to the non-Jew. Right? Chazal assumed this ger is the ger toshav, is the non-Jew, and therefore everyone agrees that Nevela doesn't have an Isser Hana'ah. So when it was mutter, the question was, does that heter apply to the gid hanasha as well, and the chelev as well, to the fat and the gid, or not? And what is the svara according to the machloket? So the Gemara suggests the following. It hangs on whether the gid, right, the sciatic nerve, has taste. Because if it has taste, then it is considered integrated into the rest of the animal, and therefore whatever is true of the animal is true of the gid. So if there's a pasuk that says that the nevela is mutter bahanan, you can give it to a guy, and the sciatic nerve, the gira nasha, has taste, then it is part of the meat, and therefore is the same status as the meat. So if the meat is mutter bahanan, then the gira nasha is mutter bahanan. But if you hold that the gira nasha has no taste, then it is viewed as a different chefza, it's viewed as a different object. Because it has no taste, and meat has taste, it is not conceptually integrated into the rest of the animal, and therefore it is possible for the Torah to permit the nevela, but the nevela to apply only to the meat, but not to the gid, because since the gid is tasteless, and therefore is not really food, and nevertheless it's asur, it must be asur is a different chalos, is a different chefza shel iser, which is not integrated in the nevela, and therefore the nevela could be asur ba'achila but mutar bana, and the geranasha would be asur ba'achila ubahana. Okay? That is the machloket as it says it. So the Gemara says, he v'chelba hutra. So the Gemara says, when you were matir the nevela to give it to a guy, it became mutar with its fat and the gid. So the Gemara says, well, that only works, this is what I just explained, is hanicha, that only works, l'man demar yesh begidim enotin tam. If you think that the sinew has taste, because then it integrates into the meat and it gets the legal status of the meat. Elamand emer ein begidim notin tam. But if you think that sinews don't have taste, ma'ikal meimar, it's not integrated into the animal and therefore it doesn't get the magic heter from nevela. And if you think that most isuri achila imply in esra hana, then Ginanasha would not integrate into the meat, and therefore would not get a special heter. It would go back to the default, which is everything with Isra Achila would have an Isra Hana. I know that is very complicated. But you understand that the machloket that the Gemara seems to assume is Yeshur Ein Megidim Minotin Tam, and the Gemara says Man Shmatle, and then the Gemara just lines up the names. So, give me a second. Man Shmatle Damar Ein Megidim Minotin Tam, who holds that there is no taste in the sinews? Rabbi Shimon. And what's a nafkamina to this? The second nafkamina to this question, which is if you eat the gidhanasha of a non-kosher animal, do you get two malkiot or one? Sorry, you get two or none. Two or none. Correct. So Rabbi Yehuda b'chayiv shtayim. Rabbi Yehuda holds you get both. Rabbi Shimon poter. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it has taste, and therefore it is food, and therefore it's asur, right? And according to Shimon, it has no taste, and therefore it's excluded from the animal, and it is nothing, right? It's mutter. No. No. Because it's a non-kosher animal. It would only be in a kosher animal. Correct. So here's the first machloka we have to deal with. Yesh or ein. Now I understand it's very convoluted. Right? Again, to review it one more time, right? The machloka, as it's introduced to the Gemara, is there's a machloket whether ever Isra Achila implies an Isra Hana'ah. The Gemara assumes in order for something to be integrated into the rest of the animal, it must have taste. So the Gemara says, everyone agrees that Nevela is Mutter, either because Isra Achila never implies Isra Hana'ah unless we're told otherwise, or because there's a special pasuk for Nevela. This becomes relevant for Geranasha, because if you have a Geranasha, so if it has taste, then it will be integrated into the meat, and therefore whatever is true of the meat, so will be true of the gid. So even if in general Isra Achila implies Isra Hana, since the nevela it's not true, the gid which has taste will be integrated into the meat and we'll have that there. If you hold in the Gimel Dindam, it's not integrated, and therefore if you hold that Isra Achila in generally implies in Isra Hana, but nevela doesn't, that will apply to the meat, but the Isra Hana will remain on the gid, which is not integrated into the rest of the meat. The second nafkamina is when you have the gedanash of a non-kosher animal, do you get malkot or not, which is malkot Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. All the Rishonim look at this and say, what? There's a machloket. I don't know. Get a guy. Tell him to taste the sinew. Tell him, does it taste like anything? There's like nothing.
It's also not just to get a message. All
sinew. All sinew. Fine. Or right? Or taste another sinew, right? Maybe you want to say, right? Taste another sinew. Have a guy taste to get a message. What is this machloket? Right? Good. And here's where you get a machloket Rishonim. And I will tell you, we'll see it in a second. Full disclosure, I will tell you the machloket I had with Rosenzweig on this. Got quite heated. I still don't buy what he said. But you'll tell me. I'm not going to tell you who said what yet. Okay? First, everyone agrees to what the Maram Chalava said. The Maram Chalava here takes a Joey slash Moro position. And he says, he looks at it and says, can't, this machloket cannot be mitziut? Fundamentally, I don't believe it. Lo hayu dvar meolam, never happened, it can't be. So Rav Chalava says as follows. Honi chalamandi amar, yish begin rodin tam. Amandi amar, yish begin rodin tam, ma'ik lameymar. He says, ein lifarish de tanoi pligi begitin. It says they argue, they don't. That didn't happen. They're not arguing, can't be. He says, first of all, can't be. Why? Get somebody who can taste it. So that sounds like Ezra. But we're going to see in a moment he's going to go farther than Ezra's original formulation. So the machloket is a fully halachic machloket. And that is, everybody agrees that Gid Hanasha itself has no taste. Everybody agrees that the secondary sinews that are around the Gid Hanasha, the Knokonos, have taste. What's the machloket? Whether the Knokos are considered part of the Gid Hanasha or not. It's a fully halachic machloket. Right? No mitziut at all. They agree on the mitziut legamre. They argue about which part of the Gid is the Gid. But he says, I asurin d'oraita olo. Demand Amri Yeshben, the one who says taste, Ksavar Gidin Trasur Tor Yeshben Rodin Tam, the Hainu Knokos. He says, why is it Asur? Because the Knokos, the surrounding sinews which have taste, is what we talk about in Gid Hanasha. Shasur in the Kolshin in the Gatsmo, Avol Bishen Bo Notin Tam, the Kulay Alma. And the Gid Hanasha is also, even though it doesn't have taste. But everyone agrees on the facts. The Idach, the other one said, Amar Lo Asur Tor Klal Notin Tam. Ela Hagid Bilvad. The other one says, no, we don't forbid the notin tam at all. I like it. The gid itself, the A2. Right? What we're talking about is only the gid. And it's like a piece of wood. So what is this machloket? It looks like mitziut. It's not. Since some of it has taste. And nevertheless, it's integrated in the vela, so it's mutter. Hachanami kol agid the chevin the hutter miksa the hutter kulo. And once the knokonos are mutter, then the rest of the gid is mutter. Elaman there ain't no tin dam klal. The one who says there is no taste, i.e., that it's only the gid which has no taste. So lo hutter bechlal nevela. So, what does Maram Chalava think? Maram Chalava, in this case, does he think it's a Mitziyot Machloket at all? Bechlal not. He says everyone agrees that Gid itself, no taste. Everyone agrees that Knokonot has taste. The Machloket is, what is the definition of the Gid Hanasha? Okay? Good. In this case, does the Maram Chalava write off the possibility of a Machloket Mitziyot in principle ever? Not clear that he does, because he throws in the line that Ezra said before of, Efshar Lamekim Ala Demilta. The reason you don't have machloket is because you could figure it out. So it's not clear the Maram Chalava in principle doesn't believe in machloket and mitziut. He definitely thinks this one has nothing to do with mitziut. It might be, though it's not clear, that he doesn't like machloket and mitziut ever. Or he could just think that he doesn't like testable machloket and mitziut. But he's definitely, at least in this sugya, he has completely rejected the mitziut aspect of this at all. Yes? Good. That's the Maram Chalava. Yeah. So Ein Mei Notin Tam is like this, that if everyone agrees that the Gid itself has no taste, and the sheet of Ein Begin Notin Tam holds that the Gid Hanasha is only the Gid and not the Knokonos, and therefore it's a halachic machloket. What part of the Gid counts as the Gid? And he thinks everyone agrees that the Gid itself has no taste, the Knokonos have taste. The machloket is whether Knokonos halachically are defined as the Gid Hanasha. Yesh Beginim Notin Tam says there are parts of the Gid that have taste, because we include the Knokonos, and Ein Ben Notin Tam says the only part of the Gid that's halachically the Gid is the Gid itself, which is tasteless. Right? So it's a purely halachic machloket. It's about what part of the Gid is the Gid. Now, what that machloket is, I don't know. Right? That's not our sugya right now. But it's clear that in this sugya, the Ram Chalava says, this is not a machloket mitziyot at all. And it sounds like he's not thrilled with machloket mitziyot, though it's not clear whether that's about testability or not. Right? He does bring up testability, but he also doesn't bring any alternatives that there's ever such a case of actual machloket mitziyot. So at least plausibly you could argue Maram Chalava is in the camp of, in principle, we don't have it. The Raj, now he claims that what he's saying is the Rajba, but let's look at the Rajba. So this the Rajba in Chulin, in the parallel sugya, it's the same sugya basically, in Chulin Sadibet. V'zem in Atema, this is shocking. Right? Can you argue about that which your palate could tell you? Litaimei kvela, let a chef taste it. V'leimoim yesh rodin tina tamo lo, and tell him that there's taste or not. V'ein zu derech l'machlukotan shel chachamim. This is not how chachamim argue. Klom, right? Dot, 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 dot. Now, the first half he says taste, but then he has that line, that very suggestive line, which is, Ein zu derech l'machlukotan shel chachamim. Now, what does that mean? Ein zu derech l'machlukotan shel chachamim.
Where they would be able to taste
correct.
It.
Correct. So one possibility is where they could taste it and test it. Chachamim don't argue about things that they could just, the two of them could go to the same, you know, figure it out. You want run it by one chef, five chefs, 10 chefs. We'll figure it out. We don't argue about things we could test. Or the way Moro wants to read it, which is, no, Chachamim don't argue about things like that. Ma pito. Yeah, okay. So now, good. So then, Ela Dekashali. So then he quotes the Maram Chalava, right? And not quotes the Maram Chalava. He quotes the Svar. Remember, it's floating around in the Beit Midrash. As you can see, the Maram Chalava is quoting the Rajba. This idea is floating around. He quotes that idea as a possibility. Okay? Now, if you have the words that Ein Zuderech L'machol Gadon Shal Chachamim, and then you quote the Maram Chalava, that would push very much in the Moro direction. That fundamentally, this is not, we look for conceptual machlokot and not reality ones. But then the Rajba says, Ella, dikashali. But the Maram Chalava asks Svara, I have a problem. Why? Damrin lekamon, because later on we say, Hu da'ata lekameh derechanina. They came before Reu Chanina v'yot, Reuuda bar Zavna abava. Reuuda bar Zavna was sitting by the door, Amar lei, my Amar loch. So what did he tell you, Amar lei, Shari and Yale? Amrle Tani Vail Kamezit, let him in, so he came in. Amrle Zil Emaluhu Diyatiba Vava Lotit Saaran. Ain Begidim Nanam. Go tell the person at the door to stop bothering me. Right? Ain Begim Notin Tam. Da Alma Begufo Shogid Plige. Which shows that they're arguing about the taste itself. Im Yesh Bunatina Tamolo. Whether it has taste. I mean, not arguing what the git is, they're arguing about the taste of the git. Because if not, right? He said, otherwise, he goes to that whole story. Just, you would be able to tell. It's figure it out. Was it just the gid that was cooked? Was it the kinokino that were cooked? Right? If it's just a question of, it's a question, what was cooked? It's not a. So he says it doesn't sound that way. And again, whether he's right or wrong, not the point for now. Lo nezer klal commander is be no same tam. Omi shum de ainbo vino de tam. He said, what's this whole machloket? Right? He says, if the kinokinot were there, then it would have tam. If the kinokinot weren't there, it wouldn't have tam. I mean, that would be very easy. Dot, 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 dot. So then, skip down, right? He spells out how this would look. So look at four lines from the bottom at the end. So he says, so I've already pushed this far aside. Right, you can't hold that all these Amoran, again, with all these sugar on Sadi Zion, hold Yesh B'Gon HaDaim. Ella, Vadai L'Fi HaPerish HaSheni. The right Perish is what I said in the latter one. The begid asmo pligi. They're arguing that the gid itself doesn't have taste. Im yesh b'no deitam at yashapir. And if it has taste, so then great. So how can you have a machloket? What does he say? V'shema svir lehu debitam mashahu lo samchinan akvela. Maybe they argue about whether at a faint taste. And a faint taste, tam mashu, a faint taste, and a weak taste, you can rely on a chef. What does the Rajba say?
Sounds like what we said, like in Ezra's final understanding.
Very good. Right, so if you asked me, I would tell you that the Rajba, in the end, holds like Ezra, which is Ezra's first formulation, which is that there's nothing in principle wrong with arguing about Metziud. What's the problem?
How capable are we of testing things?
Correct. We don't want to say that if something is easily tested, there's a machloket. But to say that there could be a machloket about Metziud is not impossible as long as you can explain to me why it's not easily clarified. And in this case, the reason it can't be clarified, which is, it's a very faint taste.
Was he saying that the argument is whether we can rely on the chef?
Ah, yeah. Or is he arguing about
whether
you can rely on the chef?
So
very good. Right, so that's the key in the last line, is what is the Rajba say? Like, right. Is the Rajba saying that we never argue about Metziut? And what they're arguing about here is evidentiary standards? Of whether we rely on a kvela by faint taste, or is he saying that you can't have a machloket about something that's easily tested, and this isn't easily tested? So right? Nowadays, what's the emphasis in the Rajba?
So nowadays, if we were
what?
Is this true of who? Is that
world or is that? It's the camp, right? Because there were multiple Amorayim in this. Yeah, it's that camp. Right, meaning the whole story of the whole Beit Midrash coming in. So it's that camp, meaning not that person. Correct. But you understand the ambiguity here. So this was, right? So this was, right? Right? Well, it is helpful. So this is where I will say that this is where I got into machloket with Riv Rosenzweig, who, again, I feel saying, what? What? Which do you think he said? Which do you think I said? Yeah.
No, I'm asking, what's the
machloket? Right, I mean, is the Rajba essentially the fundamental view? Or is he, right, the fundamental view that you can't have such a machloket? Or is it you could have such a machloket as long as, right, that there's nothing wrong with machloket with Siyot, as long as you can explain to me why it's hard to figure out, and therefore it's not a, you know, it's not a. Ah, so good. So here's the question. The Rajba. What is the Rajba saying? Is he saying, listen, Chachamim don't argue about something that's easily clarified, and this isn't easily clarified, right? I don't know, right? That's now right. The problem with that is you're saying, right? So then by what justification do you make any decision? Wait, stop. Don't. What? I know, I understand. So the problem with saying that side of the Rajba would be, then why do you say any position? Very good. Mitzad Sheni. And so which one is the Rajba saying? Is he saying we don't argue on Metziut in principle, and they're arguing about standards, which is, right. Do you rely, right, it's the sheer, do you rely on the evidence provided by a kvela by a weak taste? Right, it's a standard machloket. Or is it a machloket that, no, it really is a machloket about whether there is a taste. We acknowledge that it's a faint taste. If there is any taste, it is faint, and therefore, right, we can be stuck in an untestable position, right, and therefore you can have a machloket mitziut as long as it's untestable empirically, right? Okay, right? You understand? So this was where. So I will tell you that what this was not Itamar. No. This was when I was a Talmud in Michael Rosenzweig, Mori Rabbi Shita. Who do you think? So obviously, Rosenzweig said that the Rajba is the exact same as the Ramchal Ava, right? That the Ram, that you combine the Rajba and the Ramchal Ava to come up with the Svara, that in principle there is no such thing as a Metziut Machloket ever, ever, ever. And every time you see it, it's only about standards, it's about Lamdos, and every Metziut Machloket isn't one. And I argued the Lokazah. That was his first formulation, right? My evidence is that the Rajba doesn't hold that, was simply that the Rajba raises the possibility the Ram Chalava rejects it. Meaning, if you really believe that,
you would stop there.
You would stop, meaning, what is the Rajba's point? The over-conceptualized version of the Ram Chalava is wrong because it sounds like they're actually arguing about taste. Right? That's what he says, right? Remember, look at those words. The Alma Begufo shall get plige. Right, so now, you can still read it if you want. I understand. I'm telling you the problem here in the Rajba, right? Is on the one hand, you could read the Rajba saying, they're arguing about he's just replacing one fundamental machloket for a different one, rather than what is the gid. It's in what evidence counts as evidence, which is how Rosenzweig read it, or no, he's replacing a Moro Svara with Ezra's formulation number one, which is you shouldn't have a Machloket Mamitziyut versus you shouldn't have a Machloket Mamitziyut if it's easily clarified. Now, we went back and forth on this for a while. It was a bit heated. I will just say that at the end, and I'm not going to tell you, I mean, I can't tell you who's right. I still...
Wait, the Rafi used the word Rada was the
right.
First approach.
And then reject it. And then rejected it. He says, Vadai Lefi Perish Hasheni, that the first more conceptual one is wrong, and this is more likely. Yes. Right? So, and I, but I will just say that at that time, Rabbi Chaim Packer, who's a Sholom Meshev, and maybe a Magid Shir now, also NYU, was sitting in the back of the room. And afterwards, he came over to me and said, thank you for standing up for the Rajav actually said. So this is not, it wasn't just me against Rosenzweig, you should know, right? Because I would feel quite bad if it was. I mean, whatever. But that's where, right, that's where a nuance comes in. But now, I want to at least get one thing out, okay? So give me a minute. Because even if you're not convinced of the Rajba, I have two goals here. One is to obviously figure out what the Rajba says. That's great. The second is, even if the Rajba didn't say it, is it legitimate methodologically to believe? Right? I'm fully willing to say the Rajba doesn't say what I said. The question is, even if the Rajba doesn't say it, is it a legitimate way of learning? That's a bigger question, right? You can always quibble about whether a region, there's a difference between quibbling whether a particular region took a svara and saying, is this a svara that could exist in theory? So now I want to read you another region. So here we're going to move to another sugya, and that is based on a sugya in Beitza. The Gemara has the following, okay? The Mishnah says, Beit Shammai Orim, Tavlin Yidochin, Vamadoch Shel Eitz. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to crush spices with a wood pestle. Vamelach bepach of Eitz of Parur, and salt with a, whatever, a lesser quality crusher. Fine. Behil Omrim Tamlin Ochon Kedarka Mokshal Evan, and Behil just ups the ante, right, that spices can be crushed with a stone one, Vamelach Mokshal Eitz, right, it just goes up one level for each. Okay, not so important if you understand it, it's exact. The Gemara wants to figure out why. So the Gemara's assumption here is that Malachot of Ochel Nefesh, or at least Hechsher Ochel Nefesh, because spices are Hechsher, if it can be done before Yom Tov, shouldn't be done on Yom Tov. Okay, that's part of the Machloka in the background here. Gemara says, Dechuleyama, what do you see? Miat Melach Boy Shinoi. That Melach, you need to change it in some way. You can't, either you have to use a Madoch Shel Eitz Parur, right, or Shel Eitz, but everyone agrees that by you can't use the highest quality pestle made of rock, of stone, for salt, right? That's clear. Okay, I don't want to go through all of Zechut Beitza. My time, why is that true? Rav Huna v'Rav Chista, Chad Amar, Kol HaGeder Kulan Shichan Melach. One held that all dishes need a little bit of salt. V'ein Kol HaGeder Tzirichan Tavlin. And not everything needs spices. Meaning, it is definitely necessary. Yeah, so why should that make it worse? You should know to do it before, okay? Again, this is a complicated circuit, but probably you should know to do it before because everyone always needs salt. She should have thought of that. The Chadam are Kolam Tavlin Mefik and Tamra. And the first one I'm going to leave because the first one is clearly it's not a Metziut Machloket, meaning it's a Machloket of what standard do we hold you to, of how much should you predict the future. That, okay, fine. Second one is more important. The Chayram are Kola Tavlin Mefikin Taman, Umelach Ena Mefika Taman. The second one said that what's the Machloket about? Yeah. Whether it would lose strength if I did it the day before. Meaning, okay, my, and then the Gemara has a Nafkamina. My be Naivikman at the Yodom, my Kadero by Lavashuli, the Nafkamina, what if I knew what I wanted to cook and I knew it needed curry? So if you say it's about what you can plan for, then you should plan and you should crush the curry in advance. If you said it's about what will lose its taste, so curry loses taste and salt doesn't. So the simple shot of this, again, I'm not doing this whole sugya, and I'm not interested in the whole sugya. You could give me 100 svaras of the sugya. I'm interested in how the Or Zohar read the sugya. The simple shot, potentially, of this Gemara is that the machloket is what? Does salt lose taste or not? Now, you could read it differently. But again, that's not what I'm interested in. I want you to read the Or Zohar. The Or Zohar says, Vitu, Hatanya Behedya, Tosefta debates a pilpin or ankitavlin, and Alas Rabiumtov. The Tosefta says that pepper is like spices and not like salt. Velo Nesher Biyomtov. So it's not Asram Yomtov, Elabrechaim Shalan, unless you use the proper Rechaim. Vitu, and furthermore, Kavin to Pilpulin, Mefikin Tamon. And since pepper loses its taste, Vada Sharm, you can use the stone one. Kiditnan, Shloshit Varmi Lazarman, Azaria, Matir Vechachamim Osrin, Joking a Pilgrim Rechaim Shalan. And now the Gemara says, Ve'ain Lomer da Pligi Lazarman, Azaria, Savram, Mefikin Tamon, Ain. Ulachi Shari Berechaim Shalan. Rabban and Zamri, Ainam Mefikin Tamon, Mefikin. The imkain baha pligi nechseyanon imefikin imilav. So now he says, don't tell me that the machloket can't be b'metziut, because then they should check. Meaning, he literally says, you're going to tell me the machloket can't be about whether it loses taste, because you can't have a machloket b'metziut, because you should test. Love, miu, halav tshuvahi. That's not a good critique. The Ashkhan the Pligi, Yesh Bekidim, and Otin Damim Love. Velo Amrini, Nechse Anon. Because we have a machloket about Yesh or Inbekidim, Otin Tam, and we don't tell you, go check. We just have a machloket. What? Not my point. I understand. But I didn't say you couldn't critique the Or Zeruah. My question right now is, does the Or Zeruah believe that there can be a machloket in Tzil? 100%. So much so, he's convinced that machloket by Gid Anashe is a machloket mitziyut, and then takes it as a paradigm and as carte blanche to every time it looks like there's a machloket mitziyut, he says, he doesn't even agree with Ezra, right? He's like, you'll tell me go test. He's like, well, they didn't tell them go test by Yesh B'Gidot and Tom. Haraya, you can have a machloket mitziyut. Now, you might say that he thinks you don't say Nechzi Anon unless it's easy to test. I don't know. Right? But the point is, does the Or Zeruah think in principle there's such a problem with Machlok B'Metziyud? No, he thinks that Yesh Megidin Ezin Tam, Ein Megidin Ezin Tam is the paradigm that proves in Kol HaTaragula, whenever you have a Machlok B'Metziyud, if you want to say it's a Machlok B'Metziyud, yalla, right? It's fine. What? Because he was apparently convinced that the Rashba was wrong, the Or Zeruah, that the Machlok was wrong. It's like, Yesh Ein Megidin Ezin Tam. Yes, no, taste. All good. All good. And from there, I have now learned methodologically in Kol HaTaragula, right, that you can do this.
But still, you have to ask the question, where do you apply this? Like, why are you applying it here if it's so obvious?
We can critique the Or Zeruah, Mikan, Ad, whatever. But he is so convinced that Yesh Megidin is not Metziut that according to him, it just opens the floodgates. It's like, you want to say that's Metziut? Great. You want to say that Metziut? Shine. You want to say that Metziut? Yalla. Good. I know. That's the crazy thing. I assume Or Zeruah isn't going to say like something that's easy, right? He's not going to say like, I make a neder if this is a rectangle and not a circle, that I won't, right? That I won't, whatever, right? And then he says, close your eyes, right? And just say, I think that what he pointed to was a circle. I think what he pointed to was a rectangle. I assume the Or Zeruah is not okay with that. I assume. I can't prove it. I can't prove it, admittedly.
How hard is it to test curry?
What?
Maybe it's hard to test if the taste is lost after one day. Like,
I understand. I'm going to guess the Or Zeruah. I know he doesn't. I know, I get it. He doesn't explain it. I understand. That's why I would still want to push him closer to your first formulation and say that even he would agree that it has to be something that's somewhat difficult, even though he does seem to have a lower standard. It's not like the Rajba, which it's faint and it's hard. He's just like, I don't know, they argue about taste. What do you want from my life? I don't know. Nechzi Anon. I don't know. I don't care. So don't Nechzi Anon. I agree. It's quite, but methodologically, right, what you see is the Maram Chalava and the Rajba, if you want, you could definitely push them in the direction that either this is in the Moro direction, that you can't have such a machloket, or at least in the Ezra strong version, which is you have to push it to such a difficult empirical test. So maybe al hagvul, you could have it. The Or Zeruah doesn't even seem to have that standard. He's like, what? He doesn't even say that. Correct. Now, I will say the following. Now, you could disagree with the Or Zeruah, But I want you to understand, are you willing to say that the Or Zeruah fundamentally misunderstood what Torah is about, the fact that he's willing to entertain such a position? That is where I'm already like, listen, I'm not willing to say such a thing. Again, he seems to imply methodologically this is okay. If it's up to me, I'll push him closer to Ezra, because I can't believe that he just thinks we can have Mechalgam Metzia and have no responsibility to check. That seems bizarre to me. But he does seem to have a little bit more leeway where, like, okay, I mean, as long as something's not glaringly obvious, you can have a machloket mitzvah, I think. I can't promise you where he cuts. He doesn't tell you where he draws the line, right? Okay, now the 7 minutes we have left, great. I can do the sugya that we actually had by us. Okay, so the sugya on Lamed Hay, and this is how we got into it, is very quickly, what does the Gemara say on Lamed Hay? Right, so the Gemara, and this is how we got into it, says that, again, as I mentioned before, that anything that can become lidei chimutz, you can be yotze matzah, yotzu elu she'en bain lidei chimutz ela sircha, which excludes those things that don't come to chimutz, they come to sircha. Okay, they spoil, they don't rise. And the Gemara says that this is against Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, because Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says, or is min dog on who? The chayavin al chimutzo karetz. The Tanya, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, oser b'oriz v'dochem neisha karov lahachmetz. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says that rice is chametz because it becomes chametz easily. It's karov lahachmetz. Now, you could have said, well, they're just arguing about the definition of the min. But if you just read that line, that the Tanakhama holds that rice is not a grain because it doesn't rise, and Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says rice is a grain because karov lachmitz, it rises. Well, there's two ways of reading karov lachmitz, which is either, right? The next line in the Gemara is, what is karov lachmitz, right? Is dibayalush, is karov lachmitz a kadem lachmitz? What does karov lachmitz mean? That it becomes chametz really fast? O dilma karov lachmitz have a chametz gamar lahave. Or is he saying that it's almost chametz, but not quite? And the Gemara then answers, Tashma, the Tanya Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, or is min daganu v'chayav nachimutzo karet? You're chayav karet if you have risen rice, which means that what does he clearly hold? It becomes, and karov doesn't mean it's close to, it means, so you have a machok min akatze lakatze. The Tanakamo says, it can never rise, it can never be chametz. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says, it becomes chametz faster than the other grains. So, what do you have to ask? So you have two choices.
Are they
arguing about
what
chametz is? Right? That the chachamim imagine it's one process, and rice, meaning they agree on the process. Whatever rice does, it does, and they argue whether that process is called sirchon or called chimutz, and then it's not a mitzir machloket, or they agree about what chimutz is, and they argue whether rice does it. Okay? In our Gemara, I could go either way. The Yerushalmi makes our life a little bit more nightmarish. And the Yerushalmi asks the exact same thing in the context of the parallel sugya, which is challah. Because the same standards that's true of Pesach is true of challah. Okay, that's the background. Look at the bolded part. Okay, just so you know, that's the previous part of the Yerushalmi, right, which is equating challah to matzah. Now the Gemara says, Tani, Amar B'Yochan Menuri, Karamin Chayav B'Challah, another grain which is Chayav B'Challah. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri Amar, Ba hilei matzah v'chametz. Rabban Amri, Eina ba lidei matzah v'chametz. They say, they argue, does it come to matzah and chametz? And now the Gemara says the million-dollar question. V'yivdekua. What is wrong with you people? Check it. And then the Gemara says, the line that should give everybody a heart attack is, Al ikar b'dikata in cholkin. They're arguing about the b'dika. Namely, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri Ar Batkua Matsu Ashipa Lidei Matzah V'Chametz. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri checked it and said, look, it's Chametz. Rabban and Amri Batkua V'Lo Matsu Ashipa Lidei Chimutz. And Rabbi Yochanan Nuri said, it's not. Whoa, okay. And what do those words mean? Right? Very good. So one is, it's a Mitzir Machlok, an argument about Mitzir, Al Iker B'dikata In Cholkin, or... So good. Well, but the way you would have to read it is that the Havamin in the Gemara is it's a Mitziyut Machloket. And then they said the Maskana is the principles behind it. Exactly. Good. So if you look at the Mefarshim here, you'll see the Pnei Moshe says, La'achar shabatku ein cholkin, de Rabbi Yochanan nuri badak lazer karamit, vayanira lo shabali de chimutz, v'rabanan lo hayanira lo kach. They argue, it seemed to him it came to chimutz, seemed to him that it didn't become chimutz. Is that a mitzvah point? I don't know. Gilion Ashasser of Engel says, Nirsha Mitziyudo, Perish ki efshar she plugged him in Mitziyud. It can't be Mitziyud. What is this? Do I efshar livdok? Because you could check, because that'd be Yerushalmi Trumot. Says that's evident in the Yerushalmi and Trumot. Paragim alocha aleph, davar she efshar alocha lamar alocha chamcham cholkan alocha. El alikar b'dikata ein cholkan. He says, because the simple pshat is that you can't do this. Perish about kuam matzuk tzad mar v'nechlu tzad marid ahu kedalik zang v'shem ochel. He says that you have the machloket in Yerushalmi Trumot, right? So you look at number 10. What he's talking about is atarim kishur v'nim tzamara v'atichan tzaruach truma v'yachshav yitrom. If you are mafresh on a certain these vegetables and they find out that they aren't good, right? They're bitter. You have to do truma again. So the Gemara says tani v'shem Rabbi Yosi ein lochamar v'kishur al tocho. There's nothing more bitter than this. You have to add something else because it's not edible. You can't be mafresh. Rabbi Binyamin Bar Levi boy, davar she'efchal lamed alav chacham cholken, elo ikar bedikata chaluken. They're arguing that they're bedika. So again, in both cases, how does Rabbi Yosef Engel understand both sugyot? They're arguing about the standards, right? The conceptual point, which is what counts as mirirut, what counts as rising. Now, by rice, there's actually a good svara for this. Right, what's the svara? So, guys in my share, what's the svara to say they're arguing about whether something's chimutz? So, remember, we talked about this at the bakery, that rice rises because it has a similar protein to gluten, but it's not as strong as gluten. So, what happens to it immediately after it rises? It collapses because it can't handle heat and it can't handle pressure, which means that rice rises but can never be baked risen. Now that's a very good conceptual machloket. This is how my chavrusa understood it when we were learning the sugya, right? Alex Sikin. I actually agree with him. Then this sugya, there's good reason to believe that that's what's going on. It's not a mitziut machloket. They're arguing about whether that rising that doesn't last counts as, and if that's the case, Rabbi Yosef Engel is right, that this is proof that you can't have a mitziut machloket. But what does he say? Just always, this is always one of those key things that you should look at in life, which is if someone is very, very convinced that a thesis must be true, always look at the end of it where they say udelo ke, because they're saying this as if everyone agrees until they tell you that someone else who's also a big talmid chacham disagrees. So if the Ritbaz in this last source says perish b'zegufei nechlu marzav b'batku matzur shachitzon enomar marzav b'batku matzur shavachitzon umar, he says no, they're just arguing, was it bitter or not? No standards, no nothing. And he says that's what's happening in the machloket about rice. The cheni to verakama the mesechet chala the tanakam reyoch menuri shenechlu al ikra b'dikad nicholken marzav v'batku matzur shibali dechimot umatza matzav chametz marzav v'batku v'lo matzur ota shibali dechametz umatza v'hachanami al ikra b'dikad nicholken ki agavnu. It's the same thing. They're arguing about it. And Simul Pshatus Yosef Engel notes that the Ritbaz does not buy this. He's like, yeah, they're arguing in the Metziah. What do you want for my life? Kachazeh chayim. Good. So what I gave you is, one second, let me just summarize. We've seen four cases, right? We saw the four. One second. We saw the machloket about yesh beginu etzin tam. We saw whether rice is risen. We saw the truma, whether it's bitter or not. And tavlin, right? Four cases, right? In all these cases, what we've seen is, we've seen the extremes. Right, we saw the people who are on the Moro camp who say, look, that's not what Torah is about. You don't argue about it. It must be a conceptual machloket. And therefore, in each case, they're arguing about the standard. They're arguing about what is the gid, what empirical tests count as empirical tests. How much do you trust in our ma'a? Right? What counts as mirira? That's one camp. All the way to the other extreme is the Urzarua and probably the Ritbaz, which is, nah, you can have machloket mitziyot. What bothers you about it? They're just arguing on mitziyot. Right? And the Orzarul goes as far as saying, yeah, I have a carte blanche from the Sugya of Yesh Mithin. There's such a thing about Chloked and Mitziud. And then there's the middle approach, which is, which might, I would hope to pray to God the Orzarul is not so far from it, which is possibly the Rajba, right? Possibly there is a rule also, I'm not sure, which is that no, you can't accuse people of being irresponsible and not testing. But if something is in fact subtle enough that it's hard to test, so then it's not a chisaron that they don't know the answer, and you have to make a decision, right? So you can have a machloket on the margins, right? So those are the three approaches. But again, you're right. And the problem with that, Svara, and again, this is why I want to spend all the time, which we did, and I was glad we talked about it at the beginning, the half an hour that we talked about it, is what the problems with each one, right? What are they responding to? Are they responding to claims about what Torah is, what Torah should be, about what we expect from members of Chazal in terms of the process? But again, whether you end up agreeing on the Arzarua, the Ridbaz or not, it's important to understand that these questions about what Torah is, what could a machloket be, well, the answer is not obvious, right? There is clearly a range of opinions about the type of things that are legitimate machloket, and that's what I wanted to test. And again, as I told you, two of the key, most important sugyot of this are Yesh v'Yidin Notein Tam and whether rice is considered risen, especially when you see the Yerushalmi, and you see that you really do get the range of opinions. Hopefully I give you a little bit of chomer l'machshava, food for thought about what machloket are, and we will leave it with that.